Coming up on podcast 1517, well, it was fun while it lasted. The BMW i3 production comes to a close with a special edition version. Stick around, I'll tell you what I know. Also on the show today, new cars from Citroën and Genesis. How North Dakota and in North Carolina are planning to get round charging issues, and how Stellantis are changing their diesel factories to electric motor factories. Those stories and a lot more to finish your working week on EV News Daily. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you're listening in the world. Welcome to your trusted source of EV information. It's Friday, 1st of July today, pinch punch and all that. Martin Lee here, and I've been through every EV story, so you don't have to. Quick mention for the weekend edition, it will be a Saturday special to look out for tomorrow as we talk Volta trucks and electric trucking. But first of all, let's talk Mercedes-Benz. Mercedes outlining their next-gen electric car production plans. According to a Bloomberg article, they outlined their plans earlier this week for producing their next-gen EVs, moving past a critical crossroads with German labour unions as Mercedes-Benz phases out models in its shift to all luxury. The production plan will see their Stuttgart factory make vehicles based on the electric architecture for their high-performance stuff. That's like the AMG stuff. They already make the EQS there, by the way. In Bremen and in Hungary, they'll make vehicles based on their mid-range luxuries. Think all-electric C-Class. Think all-electric E-Class. That's where they'll be made. And they want to have battery-powered models in all segments by the end of this year, a staging post for its ambition to sell only EVs by 2030, writes Bloomberg. A link to that story in the show notes if you'd like to find out more. Now, headline story, and it's been a good run, but it's time to say goodbye. All things, or good things, must come to an end, and that is the case with the BMW i3. Coming to a close with a special edition, the series production of BMW i3 now coming to an end, 8.5 years after it was launched for the BMW Group plant in Leipzig. The farewell of the BMW i3 is linked to the start of a new chapter in their electric mobility, in a transition from the i3 to other models. Further eDrive components are going to be made in the factory where the i3 has been made, with immediate effect, producing high-voltage battery modules. And already next year, the next generation of the Mini Countryman is going to be made at the BMW i3 location with a fully electric drive. Well, the BMW i3 ends its production run with an impressive home run. It just hit 250,000 units made in its Leipzig factory. It makes the BMW i3 the world's most successful electric premium compact, say BMW. And it didn't ever wane in popularity. It's not like that car was popular when 8.5 years ago there was the Leaf and the Zoe and the BMW i3, but as more competition came its way, it's not like it fell by the wayside. People carried on buying the i3. I still see loads of them driving around. My dad owned one for a long time, and he loved it. He had the range extender version. Now, okay, he chopped it in for a Kona Ultimate big battery one, because after a few years of owning the BMW with the range extender and realizing I've bought no petrol in that time, he went full EV. But the range extender was a game changer for many people around the world. And whilst it would work differently with the European regulations versus the US regulations to do with when the range extender would and could come on to support the battery, over the years, the battery did get bigger. The BMW i3's high-voltage battery went through continuous development, doubling its storage capacity in the same physical space, with a cell capacity of 120 amp hours and a gross energy of 42.2 kilowatt hours, it would leave with 307 kilometers on the WLTP test cycle by the time it got to its biggest battery size. And of course, there was the i3S as well. Slightly wider tires, because those original bicycle tires, a little too thin for some people, which brought some more styling and more performance as well. On its home stretch, the BMW i3 is showcasing its extravagant side with its home run edition. So if you'd like one of these, you can get the frozen paint finish. It's almost an individual paint finish, and I say individual because they're only going to make 10 of them. And they might have sold them by now, but if you're a BMW i3 fan and you want one of only 10 cars in your garage, then you've still got time to order one of these before they stop production this month. You reckon I should make a special program, special podcast about the i3? I'm good friends with Tom Malogny, and he was there right at the very beginning of the i3 project and was key to it as well. Been very close to BMW over the years as Tom, so I can certainly tap him up for an interview. Anybody else that you can think of, maybe an early BMW i3 fan, maybe you were, maybe somebody who I haven't thought of that I could connect with on the podcast, do a few interviews, maybe even someone at BMW, I'll reach out. I doubt they're going to want to put people forward to talk about something that's ending, but they did put a press release out about this, so we'll wait and see. But maybe I'll make a special podcast in a couple of weeks' time about, well, that was the BMW i3 from the concept all the way through to stopping production. I think that'd be really, really interesting. I'm sure I'd learn a lot in the research. If I can put a day aside to do some research, that would be fascinating. Right, EV batteries in the US, lots of plans to build more factories. But LG have put a bit of a question mark over one of their plans. The wilting US economy has forced South Korea's LG to run the numbers again and take another hard look at their plan to build an EV battery factory in Arizona. The company said no decisions have been made. It's a $1.3 billion plan unveiled in March. Tesla, GM, Volkswagen, all LG customers. And they're planning on making EV batteries for General Motors at their new plants in Ohio, Tennessee, and Michigan. And they're going to expand their factory in Michigan as well. But what about the Arizona plant? Well, analysts said the review of the Arizona investments is because of rising US inflation, running at its highest level in four decades. That leads to higher costs for materials, construction, and labor as well. I hope that does go ahead, and I hope that's just a temporary blip, because, boy oh boy, do we need more batteries, as we'll come on to a little bit later. Now, some new cars to talk about, which is very exciting, the Citroën EC4X. Now, when this press release dropped into my inbox, I didn't immediately open it, because I don't know what the headline was. It was something about the new Citroën. I'm like, oh, I'll get to that later. And then I got a text about 5 minutes later from my friend Derek Riley, who runs the EV Review Ireland YouTube channel, kind sponsor of this podcast for a long time. And he went, have you checked out this EC4X? I'm like, okay, I'll open the email and have a look. Because he was pointing out how huge the boot is on this thing. And it is pretty enormous. And actually, from some angles, I think Citroën with the EC4X have made a really good Polestar 2, because there are some angles where maybe the side angle, I'd say it looks very Polestar, by the way. But did we need the EC4X? It's a crossover offshoot of the EC4, itself a very good car. And in nearly all European markets, certainly Ireland, where Derek emailed me from, and certainly over here in the UK, it'll only be all electric. And because it comes from Stellantis, it is the same old, same old. Now, this is a car that, my wife wouldn't drive it, because she looked at it and she went, oh, you'd like that car, because I love the Polestar. I really want a Polestar. However, the next EV we buy, because we just sold the Zoe, as you know, the next EV we buy will be one for the school run and one to put all the family stuff in. And my wife won't drive a Polestar 2, even though they're not wildly expensive. Not a cheap car, don't get me wrong. But she won't drive it day to day because she likes the mummy wagon, the SUV, the crossover. So I showed her this, the EC4X, a crossover. And she said it looks like the Polestar. So I was like, okay. So she didn't give it a thumbs up because she thinks it looks too much like what she calls a manager's car in her head. I know, it's my wife. It looks like a manager's car, like a motorway reps car kind of thing. Okay, well, I really like the EC4X, but of course it's Stellantis. Same old, under the skin. So 100 kilowatt DC fast charging, 100 kilowatt electric motor, 50 kilowatt hours battery. But you know what? If they offered this, and they won't because it's Stellantis, but if they offered it with a 75 kilowatt hour battery for maybe 3,000 or 4,000 more, I think it would really make this, and maybe that would come with slightly faster charging because of the bigger battery pack, etc., a really, really compelling vehicle. Now, with the EC4X, which Citroën calls a crossover, they define it as a crossover, they bring the sedan to 4.6 metres, 24 centimetres longer than an EC4. Same wheelbase size, so where has all the extra room gone? Well, there's plenty of room in the back because it's got 510 litres of boot space, which is mega because the EC4 is only 380. 510 for the EC4X. Now, a smaller opening, it's a bit like the, you know, the Model 3 opening, not a full hatchback, which is a bit of a shame. But if you can get your stuff in, then you've got a load of room in there. And, you know, the styling, I think, looks very, very... From the front end, it is an EC4, but... I think there's some really interesting... Citroën do interesting things, don't they, with styling. I just wish that under the skin, they wouldn't have to always fall back on the Stellantis parts locker, which nothing's going to change there, at least in the short term. Right, coming up on the podcast very soon, why are Toyota buying Rivians? And how will we use computer modelling to work out where to stick your chargers? Those stories and many more coming up. Leave us turned on. Now, another new car to talk about. Genesis, the executive bit of Hyundai and Kia, launched in the UK, now on sale, the electrified G80. All right, I'll say it again. I hate electrified. It just sounds like it's some sort of greenwashing, some terrible hybrid technology. I think that's like the fourth time I've mentioned it in the last month. The all-electric G80. Can we just call it the all-electric G80? Because electrified is such a fudge of a word. It is in a single trim level. It's called the luxury trim level. £65,000. That's $79,000. You can add in the convenience pack, the innovation pack, the comfort seat, the executive leather, Napa leather seats. Vehicle to load. I think you have to option that. I'm not sure it comes... Because obviously it's on the same platform as... technology-wise, as its other siblings from the likes of Hyundai and Kia. So you get the same vehicle to load. Gets a solar roof, but I don't know. I always think those solar roofs are such a gimmick because even if you added, you know, a couple of hundred miles, I think they said it'll add 600 miles a year of range. A year? Honestly, it's fine. I don't need the solar roof. 14.5-inch touchscreen infotainment, 12.3-inch digital instrument cluster, WLTP range of 321 miles, that's 517 kilometers, big old battery pack, 87.2 kilowatt hour battery pack, and again, 800 volt architecture, so 10% to 80%, sorry if you're new to the podcast and I'm using a bit of shorthand language there, so 10% state of charge to 80% state of charge, which is the most common, it's the most common time to give is just 21 minutes. So a massive battery pack. And of course, you do need to find yourself a nice, big, chunky 350 kilowatt DC fast charger. But yeah, looks like a great car. Now, let's go a little bit around the place because we've got some local news to get to. We'll start with some very specific news in North Dakota, using $26 million of federal funding to build a network of charging stations for EVs. The North Dakota Department of Transportation officials saying today the first phase of the plan is to build chargers 50 miles apart and less than a mile off Interstates 94 and 29. The federal program guides state on how to set up the charging stations. They must all function the same across the country. It must be easy to find, must be easy to start a charge and pay for. Foxnews.com writes, North Dakota has just several hundred EV chargers and is the last state in the nation to put in fast chargers. So yeah, a bit of a charging black spot, but hopefully that is being fixed with the federal money. And what about going from there to Seattle? Well, Seattle City Light is on a mission to make owning an EV more equitable and bring curbside charging to neighborhoods. Research from the U.S. Department of Energy shows 90% of charging can happen at home if you have an EV, but some homes don't have driveways or garages in Seattle's Central District. Homeowners and landlords who own an EV or plan to own one in the future can submit a request for a curbside charging station. Seattle plans to install level 2 stations starting early next year. Submissions have been open since June the 1st, and they've had already 300 requests in the first month of that being open. Electricity will be 20 cents per kilowatt hour. Not cheap, not expensive, I'd say on that. More expensive than at home, but that's one of the problems they're solving is curbside recharging. And that's a brilliant scheme, so double thumbs up to Seattle for doing that. Now, here's a question. Why does Toyota want to buy Rivians? Well, look, every car maker in the world wants to buy Rivians and Teslas and Lucids and, well, you get the picture. Toyota say they'll launch 15 new EVs by 2025, and one of them will be an electric pickup. And that would explain why two Rivians have been seen inside and pictured by spy photographers inside a top secret Toyota facility. One of the trucks is blue and was spotted leaving the center in Ann Arbor, had Texas manufacturer plates on, and there was a black Rivian as well with Michigan manufacturer plates inside their compound. Now, they haven't been seen on public roads, but we do think that those vehicles would be tested by Toyota. And why? Well, Toyota want to launch an electric pickup, and they need to learn what others are doing. Toyota, clearly very, very, very behind everybody, many, many others, in electrifying. And so why not take what is good, like Sandy Munro has torn down a Rivian, or Munro and Associates, and that got rated very, very highly. So the best thing you can do, Toyota, look at best in class and just copy it. It's all right. It's no dent to your reputation or ego. Just copy it and then go even better. And that way they can catch up, hopefully, because with the best will in the world, that Toyota BZ4X and the Subaru version of Solterra, not great. Not great EVs at all. So that is probably why these vehicles have been pictured. No mules, no test mules from Toyota, by the way. So it's not like we've seen Toyota building a test mule with an electric powertrain and full of camo. They're not at that stage yet, but the project underway. Now, Volkswagen are next in the news. The EU deal, which I told you about yesterday, to ban combustion engines, that's a lie. They're not banning anything. They want cars to emit zero CO2. So there you go. They're banning combustion. They're not banning anything. It's all to do with the way it's worded. Anyway, they've got car makers have got 12 years to do it. And that, in car making world, is both terrifying and they should have been doing this 10 years ago. 12 years in product life cycle of car building is nothing, right? And actually 12 years by 2035, in order to understand how many batteries are needed, you need to go back to the mine and in many cases bring on new mining operations, which is, I don't know, stick your finger in the air, 3 to 5 years. Then there's the refining and processing of those raw materials. Those factories need to be built, probably another 3 to 4 years. Then you need to start assembling those materials into cells and battery packs. Gigafactories need to be built, another 2 to 5 years, I would say. So all of a sudden, you work out what needs to be done, more mining coming on board and then more processing, and you go, 2035 is actually, you know, it seems like a long way away, but it is ambitious, trust me. We'll get there, every faith. Now, Volkswagen say they're not daunted. Volkswagen say, we can do it. We've been working on this a long time. However, a more daunting obstacle is getting enough batteries. The comment was made after European Union countries agreed the negotiation to rubber stamp the CO2 laws from 2035. According to Reuters.com, the VW chief financial officer said, and I quote, "It's a challenging goal. We think it's doable. The most challenging topic is not ramping up the car plants. The most challenging topic will be ramping up the battery supply chain," end quote. That was Arno Antlitz talking to Reuters at their Automotive Europe conference earlier this week, where the Stellantis executive officer, CEO Carlos Tavares, saying only last month he thinks the shortage of EV batteries will continue to 2025. So let's talk about Stellantis right now. Earlier this week, they said they will speed up their EV motor production at their French Trémery facility, the world's largest, what was the world's largest diesel engine factory. and now winding down diesel and increasing the capacity of electric motors. Stellantis plans production capacity of 200,000 motors at that plant by the end of this year and a million in 2024. Now let's go to Switzerland. And Switzerland plans a new tax on electric vehicles because of a gap in finance and taxing. That money goes to road building, to road maintenance. And if you can't tax combustion fuel, you're going to lose out on the money. Now, the Swiss government asking their transport ministry for proposals by the end of the year. The new tax could well consist of a fixed amount per kilometre driven and also the category of vehicle that you're driving, which would hopefully incentivise people to drive vehicles of a suitable size, you know. And so, yes, if your vehicle is heavier, it's doing more damage to the roads, etc., etc. And so this would hopefully get people buying small city cars if they just need a small city car. But that would start in 2030. I think it goes to a public vote as well, or due to the way that the Swiss do their democracy, which is a good thing. Now, final story. This is a fascinating final story, and I'll be quick because the podcast is long today. Sorry. Researchers at North Carolina State University have created a computer model that identifies where you need to charge your car, but also it's mapped where there is enough electricity supply for demand. Transportation officials worry about how to design, build, and maintain roads and traffic, writes the newsobserver.com website. The ideal charging locations are where cars can get to easily, like grocery stores and just off the highway. But the best locations for charging and for power aren't the same. That's according to one of the authors of this report. Asiya Attic is their name. Other studies have tended to consider the problem from one point of view. Either where should we put chargers for the cars, or where have we got the grid? Let's put the chargers where we have a big, chunky grid supply. Now, the North Carolina computer model generates locations with the lowest building cost, taking all those into account. And of course, detours to get to these chargers will change traffic flow. So this model is also mimicking driver behavior to ensure that EV users travel as quickly as possible by considering the best interests of the charging networks and EV owners. Even before you build a single charging station, their new computer model so they can balance the needs of everyone. Isn't that fascinating? I'm sure that's not the first. There must be other things like this around the world because so many chargers are going in. And I know a lot of work goes into where a charger is located, often down to land as well. And whether you can get that land or lease the land or be given the land. I've heard of that from friends in the industry over the years of going to landowners saying, we want to put chargers on your land. And then they say, of course, here's the price. The charging companies or car companies, if you can think of a car company that has its own supercharging network, saying, no, we don't pay you. You should be grateful that we're coming to bring customers to you. So, you know, it is kind of fraught. And I don't blame landlords and landowners going, well, yeah, of course, how much are you going to rent the land from me? And, you know, the opposite view being, oh, hang on, no, we're bringing people to you that might spend money on your land and in your shops and things. So it's fabulously complicated, and I think it is one of the most interesting but probably hardest jobs in the industry, working out how to do all that and align it. That's your podcast for today. Question of the week takes a short break for a while with emobilitynorway.com back soon. Thank you to our premium partners, Phil Roberts of Electric Future, Brad Crosby. Thank you, sir. Brad's supported this podcast longer than most. Goodness, there's so much I couldn't have done without his support. Porsche of the Village in Cincinnati. Audi of Cincinnati East. Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East. National Car Charging on the US mainland and Aloha Charge in Hawaii. Derek Riley from the EV Review Island YouTube channel. Richard at rsev.co.uk for buying and selling EVs in the UK. emobilitynorway.com. Octopus Electric Juice, making public charging simple. Get yourself their card. Check out the map. And the app, it's all you need. And millbrookcottages.co.uk, 5-star luxury cottages in Devon. If you want a weekend away, they've got some places you can take the doggos. They've got some places that are doggo-free, because you've got allergies and things like that. They've got EV charging on site. They've got solar generation on site. And you've got a choice of different cottages that you can stay in as well. Go to millbrookcottages.co.uk. Maybe you just need to treat yourself. Have a look at their availability. And we've been down there. We went down there a long time ago to see Bob and the family. And it's we stayed in a treetop. It's amazing. And yeah, go and have a look at what they have down there in Devon. Thank you so much for listening. See you tomorrow. And remember, there is no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.